Okay, so we're going to talk about prayer, and prayer is, it's not the same all the time. It's, you know, I was kind of looking for a blueprint in my mind, but the blueprint changes depending on if you're in your quiet time,
yeah,
or if you're praying with someone, or you're praying for someone, or you're praying in a group. So what I'm going to lay out this morning is going to, and I'll go next week, I'll cover another aspect of prayer. And I'm going to do these little 5-minute blurbs at the beginning before we get into the lesson. So this is prayer if you're praying for a group, like if you are doing what Richard just did, ushering us into a service. Number one, be mindful of the setting. Then this is just in general. For prayer, be mindful of the setting. What am I meaning? I'm saying if you're going to pray or you're asked to pray, think about the group that you're praying with. Are you praying with preschoolers? Because if you're praying with preschoolers, it's going to be a different prayer. It's going to be extremely short. It's going to be very, very understandable. But if you're praying with the group that you're meeting with every week, like we're praying with this group, be mindful of the setting. What are you being asked to pray for? When someone says, "Would you open us in prayer?" what are they asking for? I'm going to let you guys tell me. What are they asking for?
To invite God and the Holy Spirit into the service or the session, asking Him to be present.
They are specifically asking exactly, Zandra. Specifically asking that person lead the group into a moment or a few minutes of God's presence in the form of prayer. So that's what you're being asked to do. If somebody says, "Will you open us in prayer?" and then you go on and start praying about something random, maybe it's personal, maybe it's personal to somebody that you particularly know only, that's not leading us into prayer. The person that's asking you is asking you specifically for a purpose. The purpose is, if it's prior to a service, it's to bless that service, that this is our need right now. So number one, be mindful of the setting and what you're being asked to pray for. Number two, if it's a group, which that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Hold on one second. Hold on, I can't do that one second. Sorry for the interruption. In meeting. No, that was our Terrell. He must be having a problem getting in on the line or something, because he knows that we're in service right now, because he's usually there. Anyway, so if it's a group, you're... purpose. Is everybody else still on the line?
I think we need to pray. I think we need to pray again.
Yeah, we definitely.
We're getting a lot of interruption and a lot of distraction.
Yes, we are. Okay. All right. I'll just ignore it if that happens again. So if you're praying for a group, the purpose is to usher that group into God's presence. So how would we do that? Some people say, "Well, will you bow your heads?" Other people just say, "Quiet your spirit." What are you trying to do? You're trying to get people in the mindset to shut everything else out and get focused. Jesus, help me this morning. So in order to get to do that, you just, well, okay. First of all, when you're asked to pray or you volunteer to pray, understand that the first person that's got to get focused is you. Shut out all of the other thoughts and the things that are going on around you and bring yourself in. If you have to close your eyes to shut everything out. And recognize that you're getting ready to commune with the Father on behalf of everyone else. Because if you don't have that mindset, then you're going to be lost. You're going to feel lost and be more aware of the people listening than you are aware of the God you're talking to on behalf of the people listening. Okay? So number one, get your mind in the right place. Okay. So if it's a group, usher the group into God's presence. That's where we come into his presence. We ask, you know, everybody to quiet themselves and come into his presence. And as you're praying, what you're doing in vision, I do, maybe because I have visions, but I also envision people that are on the call, people that are all with us now, I envision them, and we come before God's throne. And what would I say? First thing, as we come into his presence, I think number one is make sure that you acknowledge that he has washed you from your sin, cleansed you from all unrighteousness. So I start out with repentance. It's a good idea to start out with just wash us, Lord. See us through the blood of Jesus. Because that's how we need to come to the throne, humbly. He says, come boldly. We can come boldly, but humbly. We're not afraid to come, but we recognize who we are when we do. Okay. So we ask him to wash us and forgive us, and we come into his presence. Number three, praise. It's number three on this list is praise. You begin to acknowledge God for who he is, Jesus for who he is, the Holy Spirit for who he is. And when we do that, and we lift his name on high, and we remind him of how wonderful he is, how amazing he is, and how glorious he is, that brings a spirit of praise. And as you're praying, other people start thinking also, because you're pulling them in. So just begin to praise him for who he is. Again, don't think so much about what other people are doing, just you're talking on behalf of them. Number four, bring a grateful heart. As you begin to acknowledge that he is the number one, he's the all in all, he is everything, your heart can't help but begin to become full with what he's done for you and for us, that we're all still on the call. So you begin to come with a grateful heart and you bring thanksgiving. Thank him for the day. Thank him for this opportunity. Thank him for his presence. Thank him that he hears our prayers.
Yes, amen.
And I'm going to preference all of this at the end, but we'll get there. Then ask for his blessing. Now you're praying for this group, remember? So now we're going to get into the asking part. The asking part when you're praying for the group, just opening prayer prior to a message or a meeting or something. If it's a meeting, pray for that meeting. Ask his blessings, his guidance, and to bind interference. Binding interference has become huge on the list because the adversary is attacking on all kinds of levels now.
Yeah.
Every little thing he can come up with. So ask the Lord's blessings, his guidance, that he binds interference, and that he prepares hearts that his word would continue to change us. Now, am I giving you something that, okay, well, let me write that down because I'm going to say just that. No, I'm giving you a guideline. These are the things to cover. You might not say the word bind. You might say, Lord, let it go smoothly. Whatever way that you would pray, that your words. But these are the things that you want to cover. You want to pray that his word be effective, that it change our hearts and change our lives. pray that God's, and then pray that God's people everywhere, because we're the church. This is a church.
Yeah.
So if we're the church, then pray for the rest of the church that's not in your room right now. Pray that the Lord would bless and send his anointing to all that are calling on his name at this very hour. Because churches all over are gathering at this very hour. Pray for his people. And then number six, be mindful of time. It should not exceed more than usually 3 to 5 minutes maximum.
Yes.
And that's because you were asked to pray. And if you're praying for 20 straight minutes, you're probably not going to get much of a message that day. And you're just being asked to pray and cover the service. That's all for now. Next week we'll talk about maybe quiet time prayer. Okay. Any questions before I move on?
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's go straight into the Word. Last week we started with Acts, and Acts is the book following the four Gospels. For those that need a reminder, what are the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those are the accounts of what was going on when Jesus was walking on the earth. His ministry starts with, you know, his birth, straight through to his death and resurrection. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all accounts of, you'll find often the same story or versions of the same stories, because these are just the accounts of Jesus' time of ministry, which was about 3 years. So immediately following Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the accounts, which is the beginning of the New Testament, comes Acts. Acts. It took me a while as a kid to realize it's not A-X, an axe. I never put together, it's the thing, the actions that the apostles or the people took following Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's a story, and it's in order. First, we have four times told the story of Jesus' ministry, and then we have what followed immediately after, which is what were the actions or the acts of the people following the gospel and his ministry. So here we are, and we started on Acts 1 last week. And in Acts, Jesus, one of the last things he did, and it starts out in the beginning, is he told his disciples to wait for him. Remember, he had 12 disciples. One is missing, which is Judas. And we know what happened to Judas. It was reiterated again. Judas, you know, died a terrible death in a field where he hung himself and then fell. And some accounts say he fell and, you know, burst his head open. Some don't say that he killed himself. There's a lot of accounts, but end of story, Judas is gone. Holy Spirit is promised. Jesus told them to wait in an upper room because he was going to send his Spirit in a few days. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus mentioned that the Holy Spirit was going to come. But they are now beginning to understand the entire, everything that Jesus suffered, died, did, was glorified. All of this is beginning to make sense now to the disciples, because when Jesus was resurrected, he was seen by many of them. Over 500 accounts, eyewitnesses saw Jesus, and Jesus was explaining what they didn't understand. And he was on earth 40 days, 40 days before the final ascension took place. So in that, the disciples are obedient, and they go and they wait for this Holy Spirit that's been now explained to him, that to them, that's going to show up. And the Holy Spirit comes, and it comes with a rushing, loud rushing sound of a mighty wind. And There's a clothes of tongues and fire that looks like a flame that's resting on the head of each one, and they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them. The word I know is utterance, because that's King James, but a better word would be as the Spirit led them. So they began to speak in other tongues, but it was early in the morning, like 9 a.m. when this event happens. So now they're speaking in other tongues, and because it's the weekend of the Passover, there's so many people in town, and they're from other nations. I want you to get a visual of where this is taking place. In Jerusalem, Jerusalem is very accessible from all of the Middle East and all of in Africa because of where it sits. So people have come all the way from Cyrene in Africa and all parts of Africa. They've come from Turkey, which is Turkey was then. But all of those Middle Eastern nations, and they were all coming and gathering. And they're all in town because there's people practicing Judaism, which is the religion of the Jews at that time. It's called Judaism. There's people that are practicing Judaism that are from every nation. Remember the 10 tribes scattered all over the place. So now you've got some of the 10 tribes of Abraham or Israel that are in Africa, they're in all these, Iran, they're in Babylon, they're all over the place, and they're all scattered. So they come together for this great feast, and they hear the people speaking in their tongue. And what are they doing? They're praising God. This all happens in the upper room. There was about 120 of them. People are confused. They're saying, hey, these guys are drunk. And then Peter stands up and explains, oh, no, we're not at all drunk. We're going to skip right now. That was a little bit of a back for what we talked about yesterday as Peter began to explain what was taking place. Why does anybody have a thought on why were they speaking in what would sound like gibberish or just completely different tongue, a different language? What was the reason for that?
To reach the different people because they didn't speak the same language.
Exactly. This is how powerful the God we serve is. You can open your mouth and start speaking a language you've never learned. And it's the Holy Spirit completely taking over. Mm-hmm. Again, I reiterate, this is why if you are a Christian and you're living without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're missing a huge chunk. And a lot of churches don't want to really talk about the Holy Spirit because they don't want their service being taken over by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. That's a big problem.
Right, their agendas go out the window.
Yeah, exactly. What if the Holy Spirit said, today I'm doing such a work that we're just going to praise and praise and praise, and the Holy Spirit is in and on the people so great that they can't stop praising. And then they look up and the praise seems to lift and service is over.
Yep.
That's how the Holy Spirit governs. And he's orderly, so he's, even if you have the Holy Spirit, it can be controlled. You can quench it, and you can even tell him he's not welcome. And then you can go on and have your traditional service and talk about your announcements for 30, 40 minutes and see how cute the kids are today and go home.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the way the church started out, and this is what I want us to really grasp. This is the beginning. This is how church was intended to be. Now, you're going to get this argument that, oh, no, that was just for that time because the Word of God had spread all over the world. Somebody please mute. I don't know what that was, but anyway. So, this was not a, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit was not only for this group in Acts. And some will say, well, that was just for the apostles. How about, it was 120 of them up in the room when it happened, and the church grew to, what, 2,000 that day? Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, you must have it operating in your life. Okay, Zandra, please, chapter 2.
Sure. 2, verse 14. But Peter standing up.
I'm sorry, 14. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
Chapter 2, 14 of Acts.
But Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel."
Stop right there for 1 second. Some of you don't know who Joel is. Joel is one of the prophets back in the Old Testament, and you're going to find that many of them kept speaking of the coming of the Messiah. I mentioned last week, though, remember, they had not really heard from a prophet in 400 years.
Right.
But they still have all of the writings of these prophets that were foretelling the coming of Christ. They foretold his birth, his death, and his resurrection, but a lot of the people didn't understand the picture. Okay.
But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Prophesy. "Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen.
That's right there.
Yeah, beautiful.
What a beautiful thing. Beautiful. What a beautiful thing. I want to point something out here that is just amazing. We talk about in the last days, because prior to this, Richard and I were having this conversation kind of recently. Prior to this, women were so oppressed, they weren't allowed in a church. They weren't allowed to go into the synagogue. Oh, they could take the 2-day journey, you know, walking a camel or a donkey, but they weren't allowed in the synagogue. They weren't allowed to be taught. The oppression was so great. And we say, well, and even today, we have the problem with churches not wanting to acknowledge women. That only a man can teach, only a man can preach. But what was said right here by Peter in the last days, and what days is he talking about? That I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is what's happening right now in Acts.
Yes.
This isn't
amen.
The last days. Well, wait a minute. We might not be in the last days. So maybe in another 100 years, we can accept that a woman may have a calling or be a prophet or whatever. No, he's talking about right now, because this was the last days for the apostles and for the disciples. They believe Jesus is coming back really quick. Now, if they really thought about it, how could they get the word to the ends of the earth that every ear would hear it? How could they do that in their lifetime? Not possible. But to them, it was the last days. And in these days, He's quoting Joel. He's quoting a prophet from about, I would guess, at least 600 years prior. So for Joel, it is the last days. This is the final chapter for all of us on planet Earth. This is the final chapter. What do I mean by that? We had the flood. We start at the beginning, the creation. We have the flood. We have the coming of Christ. And now we have the final chapter. The next thing to happen now is judgment and the coming of Christ again. So we are now in the last days. They've been in the last days since Peter. That's 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years ago is when what Joel, the prophet, was talking about. And that from that point on, his spirit would be poured out on everyone. Mm-hmm. The gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit is being poured out right now on this group. Yes, and that's the beginning of it being poured out on you and me, on us. And here comes these gifts that come with it. And they're for everybody. They're not for a designated few. They're for anyone who calls on his name can receive the Spirit of God within them. The Holy Spirit will come and intercede and do the work and help you. And with it comes the gifts. Your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit. Here's the promise for anybody who has any question on can a woman be this or can a woman be that. He's pouring out on everybody now.
Yeah,
it's not designated only for men or for a group. He allowed that to go on long enough, even though they still had prophets that were women in the Old Testament. Okay.
Before you move on, the reference to that in Job is Job's second chapter 28 through 32. Once again, the reference for that in Job is the second chapter, verse 28 through 32, and you can see it in the Old Testament.
Thank you.
This is
Richard.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Richard. This is amazing. It's amazing the promises that are being fulfilled, and it didn't stop in this upper room. This is the beginning of it. It is pouring through us right now. He still has his gifts. He's still operating through his gifts. If he didn't, his spirit would have been removed from the earth, and it has not. That will happen, but that's going to happen after the rapture. We'll talk about that another day. Okay, continue.
Sure. Verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined, proposed, and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Amen.
What's going on there? I want us to stop there because it's easy to kind of glaze over it and kind of wonder, well, wait, what exactly is, it sounds a little convoluted. What's happening here is David is speaking, and David is speaking prophecy.
Yeah, woo.
And it's powerful. And he is the Spirit of the Lord is so on David in this passage that David is speaking for Christ. Mm-hmm. And yet Christ is an offspring of David many years to come down the road. Mm-hmm. But the coming of the Messiah is such an event for this world, such a game changer. It's the moment when God is taking a stand and taking back the earth and taking back his people. Yes. And it's prophesied, and he's saying, now David is speaking for Christ as if he were Christ, as he sees him before him. That's how in the spirit King David is at this moment. And he's saying, for you will not leave my soul in hell or in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption, that Jesus' body would never decay.
Yes.
And David is seeing this. Now, do you understand why people could be reading David's words and be very confused at Messiah?
Oh,
they say,
yeah.
Well, is David speaking of himself? No, David wasn't speaking of himself. He was speaking on behalf of Jesus Christ, who was yet to come. Keep going.
Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his blood, of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God, has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Hallelujah. Therefore, let
stop there for 1 second.
Sure.
This is amazing because we did an entire segment on King David.
Yes.
And look at what we're seeing now. Another glimpse into how powerful an instrument he was for God. He was not just not just the king, not just a warrior. He was also a prophet.
Yes.
God speaking through him the existence of what's coming that will actually even come through his line. This is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And people were confused at that time, but as Peter said, let me make this clear for you today.
Yeah.
He was speaking of the Jesus Christ who did not see corruption, who did not get, hell could not hold. This is what David's talking about. It's a beautiful thing, and this is how God is in our lives sometimes. I want you to hear this. There's going to be many, many times that God is working in your life, and you cannot see his hand. You can't understand what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks convoluted.
Yes.
It looks like, what are you talking about? You said you're a God of grace, you're a God of mercy, but I'm not seeing it.
Mm.
This is your idea of grace? This is your idea of mercy? Stay on the road. God will make everything clear because he's not lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
He is still the same God that he was then. He is today.
Amen.
He's the same God. And he will be back for you tomorrow. He hasn't forgotten.
Amen.
He's not blind. He's not deaf. And his arm is not short. He sees
Hallelujah.
The suffering. He sees what you're going through. And he is there with you.
Yes,
he is. Hallelujah.
Thank
you,
Amen.
Jesus. Yes.
As people have suffered all through time, wondering, well, you promised the Messiah. I'm not seeing that. But the Messiah is coming, and they still got an opportunity to be saved, even if they died waiting.
Yes, they did. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Trust.
Yes.
Trust. Trust.
Amen.
Trust.
Yes.
And when
Hallelujah.
It's hard to trust, act like you trust.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Keep going.
Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I want to remind
us.
Now, Peter had gotten up and began to speak. Open your mouth, children of God.
Mm. Yes.
Open
yes.
your mouth, children of God, because you have the words of eternal life within you now.
Mm-hmm.
What he spoke about, as he began to explain that David wasn't talking about himself, he was talking about this same Jesus that just died just a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And was raised by the Father, and we have many witnesses that saw this.
Mm.
It cut. It cut in a way that you or I cannot do.
Mm.
But Peter had just been hit with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So the Holy Spirit is speaking and is upon Peter. So the words coming out of Peter's mouth are powerful. And there's something happening inside the heart of the people listening. All of a sudden, they're convicted, they're cut, they, what shall we do?
Right,
and what shall
right.
we do? The words that can come from your mouth can exact permanent change in somebody else. Open your mouth. Share God's word where you can. Let the Holy Spirit begin to use you in this way.
Mm-hmm.
So they ask, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, and the Holy Spirit's coming on you too.
Mm-hmm.
What
Hallelujah.
A beautiful day. What a
Hallelujah.
Oh, did yes. I say Peter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I say
you did.
Peter? Huh. Peter, the same one who just a month and a half ago ran and said, I don't even know the man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hmm.
The same one who a month and a half ago was only willing to watch the outcome from a distance. He wasn't willing to get in there. He was just willing to check it out.
Hmm.
Too ashamed, too afraid.
Yeah.
Mm, the same Peter.
Hmm.
Same Peter. Now you've got people who just crucified Jesus. And you got all these other people in town, and he doesn't hesitate a minute and jumps up and begins to testify of who Jesus Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles were already under the threat of death, just in case you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just after Jesus at that point. They were saying, we're probably going to have to, you know, wipe all of them out.
Mm-hmm.
At least they felt that that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know they're not coming for us? And yet Peter now, same Peter, is filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you something. I'm telling you that when God's Spirit gets a hold of you, you won't be mm-hmm. fearful.
Amen. Amen.
You won't hesitate.
Yes.
You'll speak boldly, and whatever the consequences are, oh well.
Oh well. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
3,000 souls?
3,000.
Now know this. This is 3,000 souls coming from different nations.
Yes.
All over the place. Do you see the infectious light beginning to infiltrate the earth?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just that day. Just that day. A lot of those folks are going back to where they came from, only they're not going back the way they came because they've been changed forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Keep going.
And they
by the way, you call that a perverse generation.
Yeah.
That's a perverse generation. And what would you call this?
Yeah, really.
That's perverse?
Mm-hmm.
And yet I want to say, just in all fairness, this is the generation that killed, that murdered God himself. Embodied in Jesus Christ. So I guess that qualifies as pretty perverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And
hold on
wow,
one second.
Wow, that's
one
question. Sure.
So what's going on here? So the apostles are continuing to practice communion.
Yeah.
Remember, he said do this often. They're continuing to stay in prayer. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, what is that about? Remember, the Lord commissioned the apostles that they would be the ones that the church is built from.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very important that as the church just grew 3,000 in one day, it was very important that these people saw the apostles in reverence. We're not talking about we're terrified of them. Oh, gosh, Peter's coming, run. That's not the fear we're talking about. We're talking about a great reverence and respect came over the people as the signs and wonders were being done, that a trepidation, because without it, people wouldn't listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord doesn't give us signs and wonders so that we can be, you know, running around, you know, cast, you know, doing spells or whatever you want to call it. That's not
glorifying ourselves.
That's not what it's for. It's so that people will know that you're bringing the truth.
Yes.
That's why some of us have signs and wonders. Some of us lay hands on the sick and they're healed. Some of us. Because he's saying, this is someone I need you to listen to. And then he gives people, something happens inside of them, and they know when they're in your presence, don't take it lightly. Well, that's what he did right here. He didn't want the apostles to be taken lightly as they've got to form the church. The Holy Spirit's pouring out on all these people everywhere in these meetings, and they've got to bring some order to it. They've got to get these people taught so that as they go out, they'll know how to establish and they'll know how to have order in their service. They'll know what the Holy Spirit is. They'll know what the Holy Spirit is capable of. But he has to set aside these apostles because they've got to establish the church of which we are today. Keep going.
Verse 44.
Start at 44.
Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen.
Amen. I want to hit something here, and then we're going to close. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. I want to deal with that for a minute. I want to show you the contrast of the early church and today.
Mm.
How many people are even willing to tithe?
Mm. And yes.
They're not willing to sell their possessions and be sold out for Christ, but these people were.
Mm-hmm.
These people were willing to let everything of this world go.
Mm-hmm.
And that only our needs will be met and all of our needs will be met because we're going to do this together.
Amen.
We're going to do this together. I'm not asking anybody on this call to sell everything you have because there isn't even, well, there's plenty of churches that would happily take it. But I doubt that they'll pay your PG&E when you're in trouble.
Amen.
But I want you to see the heart of those people. I want you to rethink how do you use what God is blessing you with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Are you in any way enhancing the church?
Hmm.
Or are your possessions all your possessions and you got nothing to give because you got it all worked out what you needed for and you got a million different things that you'd rather give to? Just ask. Ask yourself. The church, these people believed with everything in them, and it was reflected by their choices to support the church and one another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And the church began to grow in leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening to our church today? I would say the opposite.
That's the Bible.
It's going the opposite way. People are saying, how much of a write-off can I get? Well, then I really can't give. If I can't add that to my taxes, I'm going to have to tell you, I can't afford to do that. Because there's other charities that I can actually get the write-off through. So they're not supporting because they don't really believe. These people believed with everything they had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was reflected in their choices. What are you doing with the resources God has given you?
Hmm.
Ask yourself that.
Amen.
And in your struggle to just survive, because I heard that somebody say, well, I'm just trying to survive. I don't know who said that. Somebody said it because I heard it as loud as it could be in my ear. Well, I'm just trying to survive. Well, if everything God gives you never blesses anybody else, much less his kingdom work, remind yourself where it comes from in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
All that you have, he's given you. And where is your heart if it's only wrapped up in you and your needs? Where's your heart? Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you very much for reading today.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Amen.
Do we have a prayer request? Any prayer requests?
Yeah, I definitely have a prayer request from my cousin Tracy and her family. Untimely death has happened in the past 24 hours, and they definitely need lifting in prayer right now. Thank you.
Who would like to take that?
I will. Any other prayer?
Right. I'm not trying to pray with him. It's all this. I can't deal with that. I can't deal with
There's someone that needs prayer. I keep hearing.
Yeah. Can I make a request, Jay? Can you hear me? This is Fran.
Yes. Sure.
You know, one time I was trying to help my brother do something, and I remembered that you told me I could ask the Lord to bind the devil. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know anyone could do that. So for everybody who doesn't know, if you don't know in your life, ask him to do that, and he will. That's what I found out from my friend Jeanette.
Richard, I like to just ask for prayer for those who are going through a loss. My son is right now grieving an untimely loss, and daily and almost hourly and moment by moment, we are losing our loved ones. They are taking the breath away of those who are left behind. I'm asking that you pray that God give us strength to breathe life into those people and those circumstances as Christians. Mm-hmm. As Miss Jeanette requested, she said, open our mouth. We know things, but we don't speak them. You ask God to give us strength to speak life into those who are grieving, to let them know it is a better life. It is an opportunity that you, if you are not with God, following God, or accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time. Now is the time. I'm asking for us Christians the strength and the grace to open our mouths. Thank you, Richard.
Amen. Any other requests? Any other requests? Now is the time. Don't lose the opportunity that we can take it to the Lord in prayer. The one and only one, our Father, who can actually answer that prayer, can actually deliver you from that bondage, can actually transform thinking. Don't miss the opportunity as we go to the Lord in prayer. He said, ask specifically for your needs. Here it is right now. We're coming to a living God. He's not dead. He's well alive, and he cares about all of our needs. He cares about our pain. He cares about whatever we're dealing with.
Yes.
He truly cares. So don't miss the opportunity to share what you have on your heart to others so we can all pray together. He says whether it's two or three, he's in the midst. Even when you're by yourself, he's there. There's no place we can hide from him. So let it be known. Just don't let the devil have victory in your lives any longer.
Yes, hallelujah.
Don't give him power with silence, but speak it out in the name of Jesus. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come right now in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
We come in Jesus' name.
Yes.
The name that is above all names.
Yes.
The name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
He is the one that you've given authority over all spirits. So we come in Jesus' name, thanking you, Lord, today for what you gave your word to us. Thanking you, Lord, today
that,
Father, you hear us and you answer us. You care about everything that we are going through. You care about it, Father. Lord, we lift up Tracy. We pray right now for whatever struggle she's dealing with, whatever's going on in her life, that, Lord, you would give her victory over and you'll give her peace with it. Lord, that you're the giver of peace. You're the deliverer. There's no one can deliver like you can. There's no falseness in you. It's all truth, Lord. So we come in Jesus' name asking that you would touch Tracy, mind, body, soul, and spirit.
Yes.
That you'd give a fresh new beginning today that she didn't have just a few seconds ago. That, Lord, you transform and renew her, Father. Lift her up in the name of Jesus, we pray.
Yes.
Lift her up. Give it to your Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, take
thank
the bondage of all that she's dealing
thank
with
you,
away,
Lord
God.
Yes,
we cast
Lord.
Off
thank
any spirit
you.
Of evilness,
Hallelujah.
Any spirit of doubt, any spirit of fear. We
Hallelujah.
Cast it out in the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus
yes,
right now.
You,
and ask, Lord, your will be done,
thank
Father.
You,
we thank you for it, Father. We thank you with faith.
Thank
we thank you,
Lord.
With,
thank
with
you,
our hearts and mind, body, and soul,
thank
and
you,
spirit. We thank you, Lord God,
thank
that
you, Lord.
You're doing it right now
thank
in our life.
You,
and we praise
thank
you for it, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Oh, Lord, we lift up praying, Father, for giving that strong word that we can bind up the devil. We bind up the devil in all aspects, in all of our lives. We bind him up in the name of Jesus right now, that he has no more power over our children, over the children's minds, over our lives, ourselves, over whatever we're dealing with in the workforce, whatever we're dealing with in our home, whatever we're dealing in, whatever we're going through. Lord, we bind up Satan in the name of Jesus right now and cast him out in Jesus' name, that there's no longer a stronghold in our lives. There's no longer a stronghold in what we're dealing with in our children. There's no longer Satan's hands and thoughts in our minds. We cast him out in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. And Lord, we just pray for our sister Zandra brought up the need, the losing of loved ones. Death is imminent. But, Lord, we have an eternal life. It's just a temporary transformation from this life to an eternal life. Lord, that with our children will come to know that they will not be saddened. They will not be cast down. Grant them the strength they need to understand it, Lord, that only you can give. Lord, will you grant it in all the children's lives that are going through difficulties, going through transition, going through the loss of loved ones and not understanding it, Lord. You're the one that have all knowledge, all power in your hand. So grant the children that, Lord. Grant the old people that. Grant the young people. Grant them all, Lord God, that needs it, Lord. For, Father, the devil is busy, but you are greater. You are greater than all that's going on in the world. He has no power over you. You are over him. And we ask, Lord, right now today, that you would empower the children to understand it and to follow through with it, Lord. We speak life, not death, into the children. We speak deliverance into the children and all of our children, Lord, that they're going through. Decisions that they have to make, Lord. Will you grant them the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding to do it, Lord? And we thank you today, Father. We thank you, Lord. In faith, we thank you, Lord. And bless your name, for you are God Almighty, and there's no one you equal. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, those who may have issues that didn't bring it up, Lord, you know what's going on in their lives. Meet those needs, too, Father. Those that are listening to this call right now, meet their needs, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Ms. Jeanette. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And God bless everyone.
Thank you, Lord.
Have a blessed day. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Praise the Lord.
You too. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Jay.
Amen.
Bye, Grant.
Bye. Thanks, Tammy. Hang in there.